liberty
or give me death.
This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Watch the live stream
right now at Infowars.com/show.
So here is the deal. The Democrat blue wave has quickly turned into a small splash, and it's even in more trouble now with Brandon Strock leading the hashtag walk away movement, who's going to be joining me in 5 minutes in the next segment. But if you want to know why the hashtag walk away movement has more momentum than the hashtag blue wave movement, just take a look at the left's response to Trump's Supreme Court nominee last night.
Everything is at stake when you're looking at the SCOTUS pick. Everything that we've worked for decades is at stake. Abortion, workers' rights, everything. Same-sex marriage, LGBTQ rights.
What's the court going to look like for the next 30 years?
We're looking at a destruction of the Constitution of the United States, as far as I can tell.
This is a line that's been drawn about whether we are going to criminalize women.
This nomination could move the court in a really dangerous direction.
It's a very thin line between putting a woman in prison for a stillbirth or a miscarriage that she's blamed for something she did during her pregnancy, and criminalizing abortion.
So what's at stake are their constitutional rights, the protection against the abuses of power by the president, by Congress, by corporate America.
A justice that would reverse Roe. What happens? In essence, we go to 50 civil wars in each of the states plus the District of Columbia.
For instance, federal survivor benefits from Social Security, federal worker pensions could be lost.
They also want to criminalize abortion in this country. They're literally trying to punish women.
If he does pick a woman, she'll be known as the Aunt Lydia of the Supreme Court.
And I think the legacy that this president is creating really is turning back the clock 100 years.
But we are in an unparalleled moment of assault on the rule of law when our fundamental liberties are in danger.
Equal rights, equal freedoms, equal liberty. It's an issue of life and death for a lot of women.
I mean, we might lose some of the most precious ideals of our country.
So basically, if you are not a straight white male in America right now, you are probably freaking out.
If I were involved in a same-sex marriage in one of those states, I'd be panicked.
And say to them, your health care rights, protection against pre-existing condition abuses is at stake. Clean air and water that you use and breathe is at stake. The future of your rights to reproduction decisions is at stake.
And women who are in states that do not have protection but who need abortions, who literally need abortions, are going to suffer from it. Unions, people who are in unions, are going to suffer.
This is not a fire drill.
This may be the pull the fire alarm moment that you have been expecting.
This is definitely the break the glass moment, yes.
What it means as a woman of color to be denied equity and justice in the system of justice in the United States. Right. My fear on the basis of who President Trump might nominate.
The fundamental rule of law that is at stake.
This is an issue of extraordinary human rights on the line for generations to come.
We're not screwed. We're actually screwed for generations. I think that the gravity of this is something that we have to take heed of.
What if birth control was illegal? What would you do if birth control was illegal? It used to be illegal in some places, but then Griswold.
So there is the unhinged left in the media and in the Democrat Party. What does that lead to? Look at this shocking video of leftist protesters protesting the Supreme Court nominee. This is why it's time to hashtag walk away, maybe even run. gentlemen, if you believed the Democrats and the left-wing media in this country, you would believe that President Adolf Hitler has just appointed Joseph Stalin to the Supreme Court of the United States. Of course, that is lunacy. That is Looney Tunes land. But that's all you get now from the Democrat Party and the liberal press in America. And it's truly sad because there are a lot of people out there that still buy into this crap. And as you can see, it's driving them mental. Now, fortunately, there are logical people still on the left wing. There are centrist liberals out there who are not totally crazy, who don't want to see this violence, who don't want to see all the lies. And they are now coming together and starting a movement. And at the origins of that movement, you find Brandon Strock, who started hashtag walk away, who joins me now. First off, Brandon, I want to thank you for making yourself available to InfoWars today for more than an hour. I'm very appreciative of that. I know that you're in London and you planned on taking some time there. But I truly salute you in your dedication to this. You have been very fair to all media outlets as far as allowance of time. You have been very dedicated to hashtag walk away. You do not seem like a flake on this deal. So I just want to salute you for that. But I'm sure that you saw the last segment where I played the liberal media responding and the Democrats responding to Trump's Supreme Court nomination. All right. It looks like we may have some connection problems with Brandon. So we'll get him connected here. And I want to hear from him to see if it's not this exact reaction, if it's not this exact response, if it's not this exact media coverage, Democrat response to the Supreme Court nomination that motivated Brandon to start hashtag walk away, which by my measurement, it seems like has more momentum than hashtag blue wave at this point. And the Democrat Party is totally panicked. Now, I don't have to bring Brandon on as a gay man, just like you don't have to bring Candace Owens on as the black lady. The point is, these are Americans that are free thinking, that are sick of being put in a box by the left wing. That is what this is really all about. And they think that they just own these people's policies and own these people's votes simply because they stand on a podium and say LGBTQ at the top of their lungs or minority at the top of their lungs. Well, these people aren't buying it anymore because there's no pay dirt. There's no deliverance. There's no follow through. There's just empty promises and empty policies. So Brandon Strock started hashtag walk away. And he is connected with us now. So Brandon, is the response that we've seen from the Democrat Party and the left-wing media in America, is that the kind of stuff that drove you to start hashtag walk away? I mean, is that the exact type of stuff that led you to hashtag walk away?
Yeah, I mean, that among many other things. And in fact, I couldn't actually even see the picture. I could just hear the screaming, and that was more than enough for me. That's precisely the kind of thing that led to that.
Now, you have, like I said, you've been doing all kinds of media interviews. It's really been amazing. You've pretty much been nonstop since you started hashtag walk away. What has it been like for you? Because you weren't somebody that was necessarily really engaged in politics, like out there, putting your face out there, putting your neck out there. So this for you is kind of, you know, your introduction, I would say, to politics in America. What has the reception been like for you from the media, from Democrats, from Republicans, just overall?
Well, I mean, it's definitely been along party lines. I mean, and I think kind of what would be expected. I can tell you that the first outreach that I received at all was from citizens on the right. And it was all different types of citizens, old people, men, women, straight, gay, black, white, all on the right saying, thank you so much for putting out your video. So thank you so much for this movement and telling me that I had their full support and their love and their backing. And then the media started to reach out a little bit on the right, and they were very interested in walk away and what it was all about. Just within the last week or so, I'd say that the left-wing media has begun to pick up on us because they've gotten to the point where they can't really ignore us anymore. And they're not actually reaching out to me for an interview. They're just doing stories saying that walk away is Russian bots. And then the
and welcome to the club, comrade.
And the typical left wing citizen, they're also, I'm starting to hear from them on a personal level as well. And that's kind of what would be expected. It's one of two things usually. Either you must be a really stupid idiot, or you're fake. You're just doing this for money, which, by the way, where the money hasn't shown up yet, so I don't know what money they're talking about. But it's just that kind of thing. And I haven't heard from any left wing politicians.
And doesn't that just say everything? They claim that they're all about, you know, they want to stand up for you as a gay man. And in fact, you know, they're telling you that you need to be in panic mode right now over the Supreme Court justice nomination. You seem to be comfortable. So you're not buying the Democrat propaganda?
No. No, I mean, mostly because I bought into it for so long. And I think that they've exhausted my reserves of fear at this point. I mean, that was another huge reason why I decided to walk away. And it's, you know, I could have just walked away and been quiet about it too. I could have walked away, like I think a lot of people have, and just said nothing and been content to have just, you know, I myself walk away and leave it at that. But the truth is, I saw what they were doing to my community. And I saw what they're doing to racial minorities. I see what they do to all kinds of minorities in America. And I'm really not okay with it. I think it needs to be exposed. I think it needs to be addressed. And that's why I chose to do this campaign. Because the truth is, you know, it's 2018. The world has moved on. We're not in the same place that we were 5 years ago, 10 years ago. And so I feel like if you're a gay person in America, this should be one of the most exciting times in your life from a political standpoint. Because for the first time ever, we really don't have to live in fear or white knuckle whether or not there's a Democrat in the office or not. I mean, this is not, our rights are not a wedge issue at this point. It's like we really, for the first time ever, can be full participants in the democratic process. We have a choice. We can, you know, we get the advantage of being able to window shop and say, okay, what really works for me? What are people saying? But they don't want that. And the Democrats and the liberal media are trying to tell us, no, that's not true. They hate you over there. They don't want you over there. You have to stay here with us. And I don't like that. You know, I don't like that we've reached this certain level of equality, but they're trying to keep us oppressed from a political standpoint. And I reject that. And I want all more minorities to see that that's what's going on.
Well, and it's not necessarily that you've changed your politics or you're a conservative or a Republican. I've never seen you make any statements like that. It's just that, as you said, you don't want to be a part of this plantation that says, oh, you need to live in fear and we'll protect you from the boogeyman. You know, you've kind of broken the shackles and said, wait, I have nothing to be afraid of. I go out in the streets of America. I'm myself. Nobody's threatening me. I'm not a threat because a conservative walks down the street. Why do you keep telling me this? And then they just double down on the message. And so for you, it's like, okay, you really have no interest in what I'm thinking. So I'm going to hashtag walk away.
Right. And yeah, people are threatening me. They're just not on the right.
Amazing how that works, right? The party that claims when they go low, we go high. The party that claims that they want to be civil. In fact, I've got a whole stack of news here. I'm going to do this when you sign off with us at 3:30 Central here. I've got a stack of news of all the Democrats on Twitter basically saying it's time to panic. The Supreme Court justice nominations means it's time to panic. When really, I think they're panicking, Brandon, because they're losing people like you.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely true. But I mean, at this point, I don't think that they even bother to research anything or really find out exactly what's going on. I mean, they've just become kind of the party of we hate Trump. And it's, you know, anything that Trump endorses or anything that Trump tries to put forward, they're going to automatically hate it, whether they know anything about it or not. I mean, I'm sure you saw the video that was released recently of, I think it was campus
reform, where they hate you. The Supreme Court nomination. Yeah, the women's march, the women's march. Get this, Brandon. I've got the document somewhere. The women's march sent out a push email to all of its followers, and they forgot to put the name of the Supreme Court justice. So it says, we know that Judge XX is an extremist. So they didn't even put the name in there, and they sent it out to all of their members. We'll be right back. One more segment with Brandon Strzok. Don't go anywhere.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Of America.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, that is the response from the brainwashed sheeple that right now, I guess, would identify as Trump-hating liberals or Democrats. That is the sad state now of the left wing in America. And that's how they respond now. Not even words anymore. They've just resorted to shouting. So, open-minded, fair-minded people with common sense and true policy beliefs don't want to behave like that. And so Brandon Strock has started hashtag walk away. He is my guest for one more segment. Brandon, I want to get into two things with you in this segment. One, you made a big announcement earlier on the Alex Jones show. You are actually planning a march in Washington, D.C. Can you enlighten me a little bit more about that?
Well, yes, I made a very impulsive decision to tell Alex about that. And honestly, that I'm not trying to be cagey. The truth is, what I told Alex is we're in very, very introductory stages of planning this. So I'm not holding out on you. There's just at this point, not a lot to tell. I told Alex because I said, you know, I'm going to need some help. Going forward with this, because we literally are grassroots, despite what some left-wing publications might tell you. We're not heavily funded. We're certainly not funded by the GOP. We're not.
So wait, so how many Russian rubles have you been, have been donated to your, to your march?
No Russian rubles yet. And no Russian bots are involved. No. I wanted to bring it up to Alex because I know that I just felt like this is something that would be up his alley to at least want to maybe point me in the right direction of some people that might be, you know, on an organizational level, very, very helpful. And I think that he did that, which I greatly appreciate. But at this point, no, it's just, you know, and honestly, I want to say thank you to the left-wing media for helping give me the idea. Because if any one of them had ever reached out to me at any point this week to say, hey, what's going on with your campaign? I'd like to talk to you about it. None of them did. They decided to run stories saying that it's not a real movement. It's not a real campaign. It's all Russian bots. Well, that put the idea in my mind. You can't really argue with thousands and thousands of people marching down the street wearing shirts that say hashtag walk away, can you? So maybe we'll take this nationwide.
Well, I wouldn't. Hey, you might be surprised because they will.
Yes, I have no doubt that they will. But I think for those people who still have a single functioning brain cell in their head, they will realize that this is very real and that these are very real people and these very real people are sick and tired of being ignored. They'd like to be heard. They have a voice. They want to stop being ignored by people. And that's why I think this campaign has been so successful, because it's given a voice back to people who are sick and tired of being talked about, particularly by politicians and by the media. And they want to be talked to once again, and they want to be acknowledged.
So where do you go from here politically? I mean, where do you go party-wise? I mean, is there a party even out there for you? What do you think you do when it comes to election time? I mean, midterms are coming up. What are you thinking politically? What is the future for you politically?
Well, for me personally, I'm now a registered Republican, and I have found myself, I'm now a conservative, and I'm a supporter of the president. So for me, it's a very simple decision, and it's not one that I came to easily. I mean, this wasn't like I was a Democrat one day and then I was a Republican the next. There was actually a long void in between, which I filled that time doing a lot of research and watching debates between conservative and liberals on a whole host of issues and really starting to educate myself for the first time, because in the past, I think that I was not open to receiving information that was coming from a Republican or a conservative. You know, I sort of just blocked that out. I didn't want to hear what they had to say. But once I made myself open to actually listening and digesting and understanding, I started to realize that the conservative point of view made much more sense to me than the liberal point of view actually made. And I want to make clear, you know, I'm not telling people to do what I've done. I'm not saying that you need to walk away and become a Republican. I'm certainly not saying you need to walk away and love Donald Trump. I'm not telling anyone what to do, except for to say, please take a look at what's happening on the left. Please take a look at the Democrat Party and liberalism, what it has devolved to, and get away from it. It's just hateful. It's just divisive. It's now to the point of bordering on violent. And it has no place in a country that prides itself on civil discourse. So that's what I want people to walk away from, and where they go is their own business. But for me, I found myself in the Republican Party.
Well, and I would say, I mean, I think it's already boiled over into violence. I mean, you have over 100 cases of assault filed by Trump supporters, by people, you know, out there, you know, assaulting them for their political beliefs. So, yeah. And again, though, it's just strange to me that people, because it's like the same thing. Like, I feel like when they come out and they say with the Supreme Court justice pick, they say, oh, he's going to send us 100 years back in the past, 100 years. To me, they're the ones living in the past. They're the ones living like racism is still like I'm going to walk around and everyone's racist. Okay, there's always going to be patches of racism. Like, you know what I'm saying? Or they think, oh my gosh, if I'm LGBTQ, everybody hates me and I need the Democrats to protect. They're the ones living in the past. Like in modern day, people mind their own business. Most people are actually probably just libertarian. Leave me alone. I leave you alone. So to me, I feel like the Democrats are the party living 100 years in the past.
I agree with you 100% on everything that you just said. I mean, first of all, when I think about, you know, like a utopia of America, I think about a place where people can be gay, people can be straight, people can be black, people can be white, and nobody really cares. I mean, it's not like we don't acknowledge that we have these differences, but they're not, you know, they don't really divide us, and they're not really of any significance. It's just sort of who we are. We're all Americans. And yes, we're different. But, you know, it's these things, they don't come between us. They don't cause friction between us, and they don't divide us. Now, on the left, I mean, you have people in all earnestness saying that this is 1935 Germany that we're living in again. I mean, they're not joking when they say, you know, we have the second coming of Hitler in office, and this is just like Germany from the 1930s. So, I mean, yes, you're right. Which party is living in the past? And not even just living in the past. I mean, living in this like delusional.
You're a Russian bot.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost scary the level to which they have to do these mental contortions to make up these ridiculous explanations for things that aren't even happening.
It really is crazy. I mean, look, I've been in Manhattan. I've been to Bottoms Up. I've seen the Strip. The only friction happening there seems to be positive friction. So, I don't know what these people are talking about. But you know what? I'm glad, Brandon, not only that you started hashtag walk away, but you really have committed to it and you really are making a positive difference. So I know that Alex wants to help you with this march and InfoWars wants to help you get this off the ground. Guys, flash up the GoFundMe again, so that people can know where to go if they want to fund the hashtag walkaway campaign startup costs. And again, you're just kind of announcing this. You don't have any concrete plans, but you want to have a march on Washington, and that's kind of your next goal moving forward.
Right. And I mean, what I can tell you that I would like to do is I'd like to loop in some really great speakers. I would love to get... If there are any Hollywood celebrities who are on the right who are brave enough to step forward, I mean, this is what I really want to do. I kind of want to rip the veil off of all of the fear that sort of surrounds people coming out as conservative. I mean, that's
all right. It's Brandon Strock. Hey, thank you so much, man. You've been
the War Room. Infowars.com/show. This broadcast contains subject matter that may offend liberal snowflakes. It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
All right, Brandon Strock has stuck around with us for another segment here, at least momentarily, to finish his point. Again, you can find him on Twitter at US Minority. Guys, pull up the GoFundMe campaign page. Now, this is quite exciting. When we went to break in the last segment, the campaign page for hashtag walkaway was at 26,000. Let's just say a little birdie around here has increased that up to 36,000. So again, GoFundMe hashtag walkaway campaign startup cost. Brandon wants to have a march on Washington. We're kind of just wargaming out that right now on the air. He doesn't have any concrete plans. So if you're interested in helping organize this, if you're interested in speaking, or if you know someone that might be interested in speaking, reach out to Brandon. But Brandon, you were making a point at the end of the break about this before we had to cut. So just go ahead and finish that point.
Well, I was simply saying that, you know, this is going forward. I want this to be, you know, something that's really special and really monumental. And so, yeah, I mean, I would love it if, you know, what I really want to do is sort of like break the taboo, you know, that exists right now. That, I mean, it's ridiculous that, you know, in the United States of America, that there are so many people who have to be afraid to simply say, good people who have to be afraid to say that they're conservative. So I think it would be amazing if there are, you know, any big name celebrities out there, any, you know, who are willing to stand up at this rally and say, you know, look, I'm a conservative, and let's kind of rip the veil off the whole thing and get back to a place of civility and kind of normal conversations with each other. But this march, I intend to be a really big deal. And so we're going to need a lot of help. We're going to need help with organization. We're going to need help with, you know, all the logistics of putting this together. So if there are anybody, if there's anybody out there who, you know, has experience putting together something, you know, a large scale operation like this, please get in touch with us. And if you're somebody who's able to just even contribute financially to what this will entail, please go to walkawaycampaign.com. There's a tab that says sponsorship. You'll see two different options. You could do GoFundMe, which is great for a one-time donation if you just want to, you know, do something one time. And there's also Patreon. That's great if you're somebody who's able to make a regular monthly donation toward the cause. And there's multiple options there. If you want to do $5 a month, clear up. If you want to do $1,000 or more a month, anything you can do to help us out is appreciated, because we're just a grassroots organization. We're just getting started and we have some really big plans.
Well, it's nice that there is an element of the left or the former left that's, you know, trying to be cordial, trying to bring things together, wanting to have a civil discourse here. And yes, it's just saying, look, you know, we have to abandon the hysteria. We have to abandon these 100-year-old fears that just don't exist anymore, except for the fact that they're still peddling them. And I think that that's the key to this. So again, folks, I know that we have a lot of people that organize pro-Trump meetups, conservative meetups, stuff like that. Help Brandon get this hashtag walkaway thing going. Because here's the other thing, too. You know, if you can't financially donate right now, or maybe you don't have any access or speaking ability, or you can't make it or something, then just share hashtag walkaway. Tell your friends and family about hashtag walkaway. Because the more, I think, you know, that's going to be one thing that's really going to bust this thing wide open, I think, Brandon, is the more people know about this, the bigger it's going to get. I think there's a lot of people out there just like you that either didn't want to announce that they're walking away, or they don't know that there's a movement to walk away. So just getting the hashtag walkaway out there, letting people know about what Brandon is doing is key. Final words, Brandon, before we let you go here.
Just go to walkawaycampaign.com and please check out our Facebook page, which is the hashtag walkaway campaign. That's where you're going to find testimonials from all different types of Americas who are talking about walking away, and people on the right who are welcoming those on the left over. It's a really, really beautiful page where people are coming together in the center.
And it is really needed right now. I mean, at a time where it seems that the politics of America are so polarized, this is the exact type of thing that can kind of throw a wet blanket on the fire and bring people together. Brandon Strock, thank you so much. Again, hashtag walkaway founder. You're doing great work. Thank you for your dedication, and I'm sure we'll be in touch soon.
Thank you for having me on.
Well, thank you. And I just wish that there were more people like Brandon out there with his courage. I mean, and I mean, the guy's well-spoken. He's obviously smart, because I mean, it will break the Democrat Party's backbone. But you know what? Maybe it's actually good that they don't know what's going on yet, because they still have this arrogance. And so they kind of ignore Brandon. They kind of ignore the hashtag walk away, like it's not really a threat to them. Oh, just like you did for Donald Trump. So maybe that's the beauty of it. Maybe that's the silver lining. Because they ignore it, because they act like it's ineffective, It then sneaks up on them, bites them, and then is totally effective. So this is going to be interesting. And again, for people out there that are grassroots conservatives that have done a lot of great work to organize people, organize events, this is a great opportunity. I would hop on board the hashtag walkaway campaign, and I would help Brandon organize this, because here's going to be the beauty of it. I think this is probably the most beautiful aspect of this is, and I didn't even know Brandon was a registered Republican. I mean, even saying he supports President Trump, I was just aware of the hashtag walk away. So that's a whole nother angle to this. But you notice how that's not even the story. He's not even trying to make that the story. The story is hashtag walk away. But what I think will happen here, if we do this right, is you're going to get about probably half the crowd is going to be, you know, staunch conservatives, been Trump supporters from the beginning. And then probably another half of the crowd is going to be either former Democrats, former liberals, or people that didn't like Trump at the beginning that have now come over to Trump. And I think it would be the perfect amalgamation to see these people coming together, because it shows, A, that it's possible, but B, that the now radical left wing of America has no interest in coming together. They have no interest in civility. They have no interest in dialogue. They have no interest in anything other than hate and directing that hate at Donald Trump. And normally you would say the white male, but it doesn't even matter at this point. If you're black, if you're, it doesn't matter, yellow polka dot striped skin, it does, if as soon as you put a Trump hat on, in fact, that's like a video that you need to do. Like, you need to do a video where you have like a group of minorities, like a line of minorities, and the Democrat comes up to the minority and is like talking to them, how much they love them. And then they put a MAGA hat on and then they're like, I hate you. You're a racist, xenophobe bigot. Ah. And then they move on to the next one and they're like, wow, hi, nice to meet you. Republicans hate you. You're a victim. We want to do this for you, this for you. And then they pop on the MAGA hat and then it's like, you racist. You're the worst kind of person. You're the scum of the earth. That, oh my gosh, we need to do that video. Someone needs to do that video. That's a viral video idea I just put out there. Anyway, maybe we can do it now because we've got a bigger crew at InfoWars. Thanks to your support at InfoWarsStore.com, we have the 4th of July specials still going at InfoWarsStore.com. That includes free shipping store-wide, free shipping store-wide, free shipping store-wide at InfoWarsStore.com. 50% off top-selling items like BrainForce Plus, Super Male and Super Female Vitality, DNA Force Plus, The Real Red Pill Plus. How about Super Blue Fluoride Free Toothpaste? You know, in case you didn't hear the show yesterday, I was at the dentist, and usually I have a history of gum disease in my family, and I've been using Super Blue Toothpaste now for about 2 years since the release at InfoWarsStore.com. I go to the dentist now, no gum issues. Zero gum issues. I'm not going to get into the gory details, but let's just say it's not as nasty for the dentist to get in there and floss me when I go there now. So I have seen incredible results from using Super Blue Fluoride Free Toothpaste with the colloidal silver and the nascent iodine infused just for my gum health. So, you know, decades of using the commercial mainline toothpaste, no positive impact on my gums. Switched to Super Blue Fluoride Free Toothpaste for 2 years, and all the issues I had with my gums when I go to the dentist are gone. It's at InfoWarsStore.com. It's free shipping store-wide. It's 50% off some of our top-selling items. Take advantage of the July 4th special before it concludes. Now, on the other side, I'm going to read off the list of the Democrats. They're the ones starting civil war, folks. This is ridiculous. Living in
the War Room. InfoWars.com/show.
Okay. See, people think I'm. Oh, okay. Is that what we're doing now? Is that what we're doing? People think I'm crazy. Yeah. People think I'm crazy when I go on these tirades and I make a whole joke like the intro we put together where I'm like screaming like a madman. No, that's what the Democrat followers do now. That was a video from last night, leftists responding to the Supreme Court justice nomination. They can't even speak. They just scream. It's wow. But now there is a reason for this. Let me get into this stack here. Let me get a doc cam here. Can I get a doc cam here? This stack, this magical stack right here, is all of, in fact, I shouldn't say all. This is about 2%, maybe less, maybe in fact less than 1% of the radical response from the left. Now, this is just politicians. I didn't even get into Hollywood. That's a whole nother wing of this. I would have had to spend 5 hours putting this together, and I was covering the Seth Rich press conference, which I'll get into with Jerome Corsi at 5:30. But let me get into this to just show you what has happened in the last 12 hours since the Supreme Court nominee by Trump. So Shannon Bream, who does Fox News at night, they had a live show that they were going to do outside, but they had to move their live broadcast from outside where they were going to do it in front of, I guess, the Capitol building to cover the Supreme Court nomination. And they had to cancel their live stream that was remote out of studio because of all of the threats that they had when they were about to go live. So again, why would that be happening? Why would Shannon Bream of Fox News at night, who's, I mean, she's pretty much neutral. I mean, it's not even like she's that right wing. I mean, she just tells it like it is, but, or at least whatever the teleprompter says, but she can't even do a live broadcast now without the left shutting it down with violent threats. Now, here's why. Terry McAuliffe, Virginia governor. The nomination of Judge Brett Kavanaugh will threaten the lives of millions of Americans for decades to come and will morph our Supreme Court into a political arm of the right-wing Republican Party. Now, let me just explain something. First of all, that is what the left wing has been trying to do to the Supreme Court for decades. So it's the left wing that tried to turn it into a Democrat arm as a failsafe whenever they lose elections. Oh, man. See, and Terry McAuliffe knows this. This guy's such a piece of dirt, man. But look at what he says. The nomination of Judge Brett Kavanaugh will threaten the lives of millions of Americans for decades to come. This is why the radical left wing is out causing violence in the streets. This is why they're threatening Shannon Bream of Fox News. This is why they're screaming in your ear. This is why they'll punch you in the face if you wear a Trump hat. Because of scum like Terry McAuliffe, who says the nomination of Brett Kavanaugh will threaten millions of Americans' lives for decades. And then they call us crazy for saying they're trying to start a civil war. That's one example. Kirsten Gillibrand. We all know what's at stake with Kavanaugh's nomination. The freedom for women to make our own choices. Screw you. Equal rights, civil rights, lies, lies. People just can't stop lying. All of the values we hold most dear. Stopping this will take all of us. Fighting as hard as we can. Raising our voices again and again. So there's Kirsten Gillibrand. Again, trying to incite a civil war. What do you... Oh, millions of Americans' lives are at stake? We have to keep fighting? All the values we hold most dear are at stake? This is the Democrat messaging, folks. Why do you think their minions are starting violence? Go right to the source again. Cory Booker. We can't underscore enough the fact that Donald Trump is a subject of an ongoing criminal investigation. Wrong. Totally wrong. A senator just totally wrong. Is Cory Booker that stupid or that much of a liar? He goes on, there's a clear conflict of interest for this president who has a history of demanding loyalty tests to name a justice to the court that could be involved. So first he lies and says Trump is under criminal investigation, an outright lie. And then he says because of that, he can't nominate a Supreme Court justice. Cory Booker is just an outright liar trying to start a civil war. Elizabeth Warren. Last night, Donald Trump announced his SCOTUS pick, Brett Kavanaugh. He's opposed the rights of women, workers, and consumers. The fight for our lives is here. We're going to fight for our hearts out to make Washington listen to us. It's what our democracy is all about. Hashtag what's at stake. So there's the unhinged Elizabeth Warren, again, signaling to her Democrat minions. Get out there. Get violent. Get fired up. Our lives are at stake. Chuck Schumer, I will oppose Judge Kavanaugh's nomination with everything I have. And I hope a bipartisan majority will do the same. The stakes are simply too high for anything less. If Americans believe in a woman's right to make her own reproductive choices, you mean to not reproduce, and that health insurance companies shouldn't be able to charge people more based on pre-existing conditions, now's the time to fight! I'm calling on all Americans from all walks of life to make their voices heard from now until the end of this battle. That's Chuck Schumer. Eric Swalwell, Trump's SCOTUS nominee, Judge Brett Kavanaugh, will work against Roe v. Wade and against the Affordable Care Act. You know who made Roe v. Wade the issue? The left. We will need a strong Congress to help balance the Supreme Court. That's why you need to get loud. Stay loud. Yeah. Eric Swalwell. Attaboy, Eric. Incite a little more violence in this country, you dirtbag. Oh, and he did. Today's SCOTUS pick represents a turning point. We need to stay loud if we want to defend the rights of women, the LGBTQ plus, now it's the plus community. Now they recognize themselves as symbols of voters, of people. Again, Eric Swalwell, thank you again for inciting violence in a civil war in America, lying to your minion followers. He wasn't done. If you think it's outrageous that Senator Ron Johnson is repeating Russia's rhetoric, speak up now. This guy is unbelievable, Eric Swalwell. He says, we must stay loud. Again, he's all about staying loud. This is not normal. He says, it's not normal. Dude, you are not normal. You are a freak, man. Like, you are seriously a freak. Eric Swalwell might be the first congressman ever to have a negative IQ. Maybe the first person ever to have a negative IQ. Is that even possible? Eric Swalwell has a negative IQ. He says, if flames like this are not extinguished, they will burn down our democracy. They're the ones starting the brush fires of a civil war. They're the ones lighting this country. They're the ones gaslighting this country, folks. I mean, I'm getting so mad right now because I know what's going on. I know Eric Swalwell knows what's going on. And then they're going to point the finger at InfoWars and say, you're loons, you're trying to start a civil war. Dude, F you, man. All the Democrats are saying this is the fight for your lives. All the Democrats are saying the lives are at stake. All the Democrats are saying the future of the country is at stake. They're the ones inciting the violence. Hundreds of assault cases against Trump supporters. Show me hundreds of cases of assault against Hillary supporters. Show me hundreds of cases of assault against Bernie supporters. You can't find it. The Democrat, you know what? Nancy Pelosi releases a statement. The president's selection is a clear and disrespectful assault on the fundamental rights of women and on the equality, affordable health care of the American people. Again, and notice what they make their main issue, aborting babies. What does that tell you about these people? That is their biggest issue right now, is they want to make sure that millions of babies are still aborted in this country. You scum. You sick, twisted scum. The ACLU. This is what Trump had to say about overturning Roe v. Wade during his campaign. And now we learn that Brett Kavanaugh wants to do the same. We can't gamble our rights away. We must fight. The ACLU wants you to fight. Oh, and then there's the Women's March. These people are so pathetic. Women's March statement on Trump's extremist SCOTUS nomination. They sent out this email after the nomination. They forgot to put the name in there. They still had XX. So just like all the prepared protests, all the prepared signs, all the prepared emails, all fake. All fake. Trump could have nominated the Easter Bunny, and they still would have sent out the same crap. These people are unhinged, deranged lunatics.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Warning.
This broadcast
is not
for the weak-minded.
It's The War Room
with Owen Schroyer
and Roger Stone. Watch the live stream at Infowars.com/show.
All right, I'm trying to control my blood pressure here. It's just in the last segment, I had to go through all the tweets. And this is like, I'm telling you, it's less than a percent of all of the leftists in Hollywood and the Democrat Party telling their minions that Trump's Supreme Court nominee means they have to go to war. This is the fight for their lives. The future of the country and the world is at stake. And then what do you see? Hundreds of people getting assaulted because they're Trump supporters. You see leftists causing violence, planning violence. And they say, oh, InfoWars, how was that civil war on the 4th of July? Hey, jackass, the FBI arrested your guy in Cleveland who was going to bomb the 4th of July parade. And by the way, I just went through a stack of tweets, not even a fraction of 1% of all the Democrats inciting and gaslighting their sheeple into a civil war. You know, it's just like, F you, man. So, Roger Stone, just take over here for a minute so I can bring my heart rate to a respectable level here, please.
You know, Owen, I love it when you show your true emotions on the air. And that tie says everything we need to say about you today. You're all American. We have an incredible story we're breaking here at InfoWars, which tells us that two British billionaire globalist royals who have some very suspicious ties have managed to get a monopoly control on virtually all of the computerized voting machines in the United States. They have rolled up Sequoia. They have rolled up every major public and private voting machine in the United States. They are associated with the Queen's Privy Council. We're talking in this case about two British royals, those being Lord Mark Malik Brown and Sir Geoffrey Patti, P-A-T-T-I-I. There is Sir Geoffrey Patti there, and you will see Lord Mark Malik Brown. These guys are like that movie Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. Now, here's the interesting thing. Both Malik Brown, who we just saw, and Sir Geoffrey Patti, there's Geoffrey Patti, a Getty image. These gentlemen are a long business association with George Soros. Both of these royals are move in London society, and they have been overheard in some of the posh private gentlemen's clubs talking about their ability to bend American elections. This is an extraordinary development where one company has essentially now selling the software for all of these machines. An extraordinary development.
Well, this needs to get to the White House immediately. And if there has ever been reason to go back to paper ballots, this is reason number one. So, Roger, so now you're telling me I have to fight the British royalty again?
Well, the point here, I guess, is I think the president should bring this up with his meetings with the prime minister and the queen. This is an extraordinary development. Sequoia, TRNR, Intertech Data Systems, all of these computerized voter machines, which are used based on estimates that by 90% of the municipalities are using one central software controlled by partners of George Soros. And it goes right to the very top. They brag that they are protected by the Queen because of their association with the Lord Privy Council. It's an extraordinary British-American voting rights scandal. This is how they are manipulating these machines.
We're going to have to get more into this on the other side, but I forget who said it. It's not who votes in the election. It's who counts the votes. Soros is now going to be counting all the votes. It's time to go back to paper ballots, folks. This is ridiculous.
I I'm Roger Stone. You're on The War Room, and I'm with my colleague, Owen Schroyer. A word of advice, one that you can learn in my new book, Stone's Rules, and that is not every man should try the ascot. It works for some people and not for others. It is not right for the corpulent man. It's not right for the younger man. David Knight, for example, could definitely pull off an ascot. So could, say, David Niven, Ronald Coleman, Gary Cooper. But Justin Bieber, I don't think so. So, kids, don't try this at home unless you're sure. So, back to the topic at hand here. We have learned that two British royals, billionaires, who are associated with the Queen's Privy Council and therefore enjoy the protection of the British government, have teamed with George Soros to grab control of 90% of the electronic voting machines in the United States, specifically Smartmatic, Sequoia, Diebold, ES&S, Dominion, and Hart InterCivic are now under the direct control of these two Soros cronies. Soros and the two royal billionaires have been heard joking about their ability to bend American elections in the posh gentlemen's clubs and gaming parlors in London. This is really an extraordinary development, all put together very quietly, in essence, selling the same software to all of the machine manufacturing and ownership companies. It is an insidious way to manipulate the data. And it is a very clear and present danger to our democracy. There you see Sir Geoffrey Patty. There you see Lord Mark Malik Brown. That was Sir Geoffrey Patty, both in the inner circle of the Queen, the toast of British society, and controlling Americans' voting machines with their partner, George Soros. You heard it here on InfoWars.
And you know, Roger, I bet that they, if challenged on this, can make a legal case. Like, oh, you know, we just own the companies. We're not interfering. They're in charge. Okay, yeah, maybe. But that's not the full story, because a lot of these election commissions, specifically here in the state of Texas, actually ignore voting laws, such as, again, I use Texas as the example. In Texas, you have to have a paper record, at least, of the ballot. So I am entitled to a paper record of my vote. In Texas, they don't even follow that law. These voting machines don't follow the law. So even if they want to say, oh, well, you know, we're not doing anything illegal here, well, maybe you're not, but we have states that aren't following the law because of these electronic voting machines. But, I mean, Roger, come on. It doesn't take the sharpest tool in the shed to wrap their mind around hacking an electronic voting machine to rig an election. I mean, that's like, you know,
well, actually,
no duh.
There's a $15 device that you can buy at Best Buy that allows you to do this. These are the most basic style computers. The greater danger is manipulation of the data from the central server. Those are the gentlemen we're talking about. It is amazing when there have been studies, particularly in Wisconsin, that compared the actual machine totals with exit voting, showing a swing in some cases of 10-15%, meaning the manipulation of the data. Now it's all been in preparation for the 2018 and 2020 elections. It appears the globalists have gotten control of all of the machinery through a clever, probably economically sound strategy of selling software to every manufacturer. They're now dependent on these two British royals, and they can manipulate the vote. It's a legitimate question. Now, in my own state of Florida, we do not provide a paper trail, which I've always thought was problematic. We've had, as you know, great controversy about voting machines malfunctioning and voting rights in the state of Florida.
Well, what is the solution to this, Roger? I mean, there is no real movement that I can see. I mean, we've had guests on. InfoWars has raised awareness of this, but you know, outside of InfoWars and some grassroots movements, it doesn't seem to be any concern over electronic voting machines. It seems to just be like, you know, oh, yeah, part and parcel. Don't even worry about it.
Well, first of all, I think that the companies that control this kind of access to our democracy should be American companies owned by Americans. And their ownership should be clear. The fact that they're owned by foreign nationals cannot contribute in our elections under our federal election law. They shouldn't be able to manipulate the outcome of the elections either. I think therein lies a solution. These may be privately owned machines, although in most cases, the local governments have purchased the machines and they own them. Consequently, this is the potential here for what I would argue would be hacking of a governmental function, voting. I'd examine that as well.
Meanwhile, we hear Russian hacking, Russian hacking, Russian hacking, no evidence. So hacking, eliminate Russia. They are concerned about hacking. Oh, wait, no, they're not. Only if it's preceded by Russia. If you mention, hey, these electronic voting machines could be hacked and they could rig these things, the left doesn't even give it a second thought. They don't care. But if you say, hey, Russian hacking, all their ears perk up and now they're ready to go.
Very, very good point. Look, last week I had a lawsuit against me and President Trump's campaign dismissed. And while it was dismissed on the grounds of jurisdiction, it's because the plaintiffs could not tie me to a conspiracy in Washington, D.C., thus the lack of jurisdiction. Their whole narrative that the Russians worked with Stone to hack the DNC and give the information to Donald Trump, Julian Assange, WikiLeaks, take your pick. They presented no evidence of that at trial, none whatsoever, because they have none. They point to newspaper clippings as their evidence. In other words, because it's in print, it must be true. This is an abuse of the system. You notice that the Democratic National Committee, which got enormous headlines announcing that they were suing Donald Trump, the Trump campaign, Donald Trump Jr., Jared Kushner, Roger Stone, Julian Assange, the Russian state, Vladimir Putin, WikiLeaks, the Republican National Committee, etc., that they were in such a hurry. Now they want to delay the trial. They don't want to go to trial, and they're using every excuse imaginable regarding service of the complaint. Serving Vladimir Putin must be somewhat difficult, but we're ready to go to trial. We want to examine those servers under discovery. And the DNC now maybe thinks their lawsuit, well, wasn't such a good idea.
Well, it's selective outrage, and then it's selective media coverage, where, like you said, the DNC files the lawsuit. It's the biggest story. The left considers it a victory, even though the lawsuit hasn't even gone through yet. Then it finishes, they lose the lawsuit, media blackout, it's like it never happened. So, again, it just shows you not only the selective outrage over hacking, oh, Russia hacking, I'm interested, hacking into an electronic voting machine, screw you, conspiracy theorist. DNC sues Trump and Roger Stone, ultimate victory, oops, DNC loses lawsuit. Doesn't matter, nobody cares, nobody paid attention. So it just shows you where the left is really at right now.
The DNC suit has not yet been heard. What was dismissed last week was the lawsuit of an Ivy League blue chip Obama approved group called Project Democracy that was essentially using it to raise money. And I think that was the bottom line of it.
It is pretty silent. You know, Obama's still pretty silent overall, Roger, you know.
Well, it's because of what did the president know and when did he know it? I think he's ultimately responsible for the misuse of the American intelligence systems and the violation of the Constitution to spy on the campaign of Donald Trump and rig the election for Hillary Clinton. That is what the whole Russia investigation is about, distracting from that truth. We'll be back to talk all about it on the War Room when we come back. We'll also talk about the president's trip to London and Pompeo's trip to Korea.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
if you have been following InfoWars for a while now, you know that we are expanding our live broadcast, adding more reporters, more crew, and just doing more in general. And it's all thanks to your support at InfoWarsStore.com. Yesterday, we were live for more than 13 hours. Today, we're going to be live for about 13 hours. That's just because Rob and I went live to cover the Seth Rich press conference earlier, which I'll be talking with Jerome Corsi about at 5:30 here. But all of our expansion, which is key because we're not only fighting a bunch of lawsuits right now that require financial commitments, we also are expanding, building new studios. So in the face of the attacks on us, we're able to expand with your support at InfoWarsStore.com. Now, I would suggest that you take advantage of the extended July 4th specials right now at InfoWarsStore.com, mainly for the free shipping. If you are yet to invest in emergency food supplies, now is the time to take advantage of free shipping at InfoWarsStore.com. If you are yet to invest in clean air for your house, go to InfoWarsStore.com. Take advantage of $100 off the Alexa Pure air filter, the Alexa Pure Breeze air filter, $100 off right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And with free shipping, you're saving a lot of money. Look at all the five-star reviews on the Alexa Pure Breeze air filter. You will notice the difference. So take advantage of the free shipping. Take advantage of $100 off Alexa Pure Breeze air filter. Check out the t-shirts, the Reelect 45 t-shirt, the new InfoWars t-shirts, and of course, 50% off top-selling supplements like BrainForce Plus, Super Male, and Super Female Vitality. Well, Roger, I gotta say, people are believing that perhaps this conference, this teachers union conference over the weekend that's going to feature Hillary Clinton, Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, people are thinking that this could be Hillary's announcement that she's running in 2020. Roger, I'd like to get your opinion on this. I gotta tell you, the thought of Hillary Clinton running again is like, it's just hilarious to me. I mean, really? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, really?
Well, first of all, allow me to publish yet another edition of the Clinton's War on Women and update it with everything we have learned about Hillary's server and so much more since this book closed. This is, as you know, the absolute solid Oppo research dump, the definitive Oppo research dump on Bill, Hillary, and Chelsea Clinton. And if Hillary runs again, I will bring out a new 2020 version. I must say, though, Owen, I don't think she has either the physical stamina or the intellectual vigor at this point for another campaign. This is a grueling process. The polls that show she and another 70-plus-year-old Joe Biden as the front runners, that's pure name ID. It's based on the fact that they don't have a bench other than Michelle Obama. There is no other prospective candidate who is well-known to the American public. Kamala Harris, Cory Booker, even to a certain extent, Pocahontas herself, are all still only known to a segment of the population. Now, the senator from Massachusetts, I think, has the potential to be a successful Democratic nominee because she is in line with the far left agenda of that party. But beyond Sanders and Biden, she's the only other candidate out there with any basic name ID, and I still don't think it's anything close to universal.
I just think it's hilarious, this conversation we're having, where the Democrat Party is so pathetic, they have nothing better to offer than Hillary Clinton. And I think
She's not going to announce 3 years early, 2 years early, 2+ years early. She couldn't sustain a campaign and the public scrutiny that long. If you are damaged goods, as she is, and you want to run, First, you have to suss out the field and see who else is really out there and determine whether any of them have the resources to beat you. Then you want to get in as late as you possibly can to limit the amount of time that you are under attack. I should send her an invoice if you want to know the truth.
It's just, again, I mean, it tells you where the Democrat Party is at right now. And then, I mean, Roger, my estimation is if they're going to run Hillary Clinton, that's just throwing in the towel. If Michelle Obama has presidential hope, she knows that she can't beat Donald Trump. She's not going to run against Trump. I think that Kamala Harris.
The thing to remember, though, is that the Clintons don't control the party apparatus. The Obamas do. So the Obamas will decide to a great extent who the nominee is going to be. Barack Obama is still in Washington. He's still pulling the strings. He has 20 staff members to carry out his wishes, and he has control of all of the key Democratic Party committees. Truth be told, he never much liked the Clintons anyway, and he's glad they're on their way out. He just wishes they'd hurry on along, because this party's chances of rebuilding are zero as long as Bill and Hillary and their plundering and their obtuseness to what's wrong with them and Bill continuing to argue about whether he assaulted women or not, saying that the standards are different today than then. No, they're not. They're the same. Assaulting women is a violent crime. It's a crime against women. It is sexual assault. It is not infidelity, and it is not unfaithfulness, infidelity. So it is extraordinary that they don't know to get off the stage.
I wonder if Valerie Jarrett is still running the legwork for Barack Obama as far as all the D.C. swamp creatures are concerned with all her connections out there.
Well, they have to be concerned about getting, you know, their shenanigans in the last election getting exposed more fully. The mainstream media has done a good a job as they can of keeping a lid on it. But we here at InfoWars and some of the talent at Fox have brought the American and talk radio have brought the American people's attention to what has really been going on. You've been a big part of that, Owen.
I mean, Roger, realistically, though, could Hillary Clinton even win one state if she ran again?
Oh, she could probably win California. She could probably win Massachusetts. She could probably win Rhode Island and Connecticut. Sure. But I don't think she can beat Donald Trump. She is not the answer to their problems. They don't have a candidate today. But there's plenty of time for someone to emerge. Reading an early poll like this and reading too much into it would be a mistake. Could she be renominated? She probably could. Will she be? I kind of doubt it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the only thing I'm reading into it is, like you said, it's just the Democrats have nothing. They don't even have a short bench. They don't even have a bench. And anybody that they think maybe could be a viable presidential candidate couldn't even hold a candle to Donald Trump. And I think that's their biggest issue, Roger. They're never going to change what they do, and that's why they cannot beat Donald Trump. It takes a new breed of politician to beat Donald Trump, Roger.
Parties are defined by their leader, and their party will be defined by a new leader that they choose. Let's see what happens. We'll be right back.
The War Room. InfoWars.com/show. The left promises to launch a communist revolution. We promise to stand in their way. This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer and Roger Stone. Watch the live stream at InfoWars.com/show.
Welcome back to The War Room. I'm your co-host, Roger Stone. And I'm joined by my colleague, Owen Schroyer. Kudos to President Donald Trump for pardoning Dwight and Stephen Hammond, two Oregon ranchers who were accused of setting a fire in an uprising against the Bureau of Land Management. This in connection to the similar situation surrounding the Bundys and their ranch in Nevada. The trial never proved conclusively that the Hammonds had set the fire. The government had given them unduly harsh penalties. Dwight Hammond, 79 years old, languishing in prison. The president did the right thing in the name of justice and mercy. But it's also a signal to the West that no longer will they have an oppressive federal government seeking more and more public land and trying to control ranchers and farmers. This is a very key and major decision by the president, and I congratulate him and applaud him for it. I was headed out to Las Vegas to speak to a rally on Sunday, arguing for a pardon for the three men connected to the Bundys who still have legal problems that were not covered by the government's decision to drop their prosecution of the Bundys themselves based on their egregious conduct, both at the ranch and at trial.
Well, to me, Roger, the pardon that, I mean, came out of nowhere as far as I was concerned, Trump pardoned for Oregon ranchers who stood off against the oppressive Bureau of Land Management, which, by the way, who's ever heard of the Bureau of Land Management? And since when are they armed and ready to go to war? I mean, that really has to make you wonder. But it just tells me that President Trump is really more tuned in to America than we even realize. He has his finger on the pulse of more issues and scenarios than that we even realize, Roger, because I don't know if you had any intel that this was coming down. I mean, this to me just came out of nowhere today. I didn't know Trump was even aware of this situation.
Well, look, I have urged the president to give a posthumous pardon to Marcus Garvey, the early civil rights pioneer and proponent of black education, black responsibility, black commerce and free enterprise. Who was a great man who was railroaded by the FBI. I have urged the pardon for the Bundys, Clive and Bundy and his sons, at a time that I thought it was necessary. Ultimately, on the third try, the government tried them twice and got hung juries twice, showing the Nevadans did not want to convict them. And then the government's case fell apart when we learned about their egregious conduct at trial and the fact that they had kept exculpatory evidence away from the Bundys. Recognize that the county sheriff called Clive and Bundy and told him the feds were going to stand down. Minutes later, the feds attacked using high-powered rifles. So much for the treatment of the Bundys. I think the president understands that the power to pardon is both real. It's also symbolic. I don't know what's going to happen with the sentencing of General Mike Flynn. There's something not right about his conviction. He appeared before a judge today, but essentially appeared to be a session in which the judge just wanted to get acquainted with the plaintiff and the various attorneys in the case. But he put no direct pressure on the government to move along the general's sentencing. I would hope that the president would pardon this great patriot. Mike Flynn, I think the FBI said he did not lie under questioning. So this appears to be part of the same political persecution that I'm feeling with the special counsel surveying my finances, as CNN reports, or interviewing and subpoenaing my associates, as Reuters reports. It's a witch hunt. It is an attempt to silence and bully those who were for the president. No Russian collusion, no WikiLeaks collaboration, no John Podesta's emails. All bunk, all a left-wing conspiracy theory. In court, in the court of public opinion, in reality, no evidence supports that crazy narrative that is a watchword to the left. So you have to be concerned about a runaway federal prosecutor's ability to squeeze underlings and get them to say things that aren't true, to fabricate, even compose testimony. And we shall see. The treatment of Paul Manafort is egregious. Keeping him in solitary confinement for 23 hours a day is maddening when he hasn't been convicted of a crime. Yet with the help of her brother prosecutor, Deborah Wasserman Schultz and the Awan brothers elude justice after breaking in over 5,000 times into the House of Representatives computer system after stealing money and data. They walk away scot-free while Manafort languishes in prison before he's been convicted of anything. You have to wonder.
Yeah, Manafort gets locked up for alleged witness tampering Okay, well, there's no crime. There's no witnesses to any crime, so it's a total made-up situation. Mike Flynn is going to face charges for lying to the FBI, even though the FBI says that he didn't lie to him. But, Roger, I believe in due time both Manafort and Flynn will get the presidential pardon, you know, and to go back to the Bundy pardon today, you know, I wonder if President Trump is, thank you, the Hammond pardon today. I'm wondering if President Trump is not thinking about the timing of this. Just right after he announces the Supreme Court nomination, he pardons these two, perhaps to keep the rabid left-wing media off their backs. But, you know, let's not forget David Knight was at that standoff. He had BLM rifles pointed at him, and Lavoie Finicum lost his life because of these protests. So it's great to see that at least the ball is moving in the right direction for true Americana and land rights.
Well, I think the president absolutely did the right thing. Look, I think the president's also pretty savvy. He knows that there are many of his supporters who are unhappy with the Bush connections of his Supreme Court nominee, even though he seems to have a conservative record. Those are the very voters who will be cheered, the Trump supporters who will be cheered by this decision by the president. So it bolsters the president's right flank. And it does the right thing in terms of justice. Again, I've only urged presidential pardons for Marcus Garvey, the Bundys, and the Hammonds all by letter.
Well, again, you know, it's just ridiculous, Roger. Paul Manafort is receiving more harsh treatment than murderers and rapists in this country. And what is his crime? I didn't even say it. It's actually alleged attempting. It's alleged attempting. So it's not even alleged. It's not even attempting. It's alleged attempting that has him 23 hours in solitary. I mean, where is the liberal media? This should be an outrage, Roger. You know, and it just shows you how political it all is.
It's hard to believe that it can happen in the United States, though. And I do want to mention one thing, and that is I noticed at the Infowars.com store, Silver Bullet, literally the finest silver colloidal formula you can find at an incredible price of $9.95. Now, Alex Jones uses a special electric process which makes for smaller molecules and therefore greater absorption of very high quality colloidal silver, which is known as one of the most astringent and effective antibacterials and antivirals. I really think this stuff is great. I think it's the best colloidal silver on the market. And in all honesty, at $9.95, that's a savings of $20, normally $29.95. You will not find a better product for boosting your immunity. And overall, you can go online and look at the historic uses of colloidal silver. At this price, you'd be crazy not to get two of them. So go to the Infowars.com store. Help us fight the globalists. Help us kick George Soros where it hurts. Help us continue fighting for freedom. We need your help.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Very busy and important week and really month for President Trump. He announces the Supreme Court nomination last night. He pardons the Hammonds today. And he tweets this zinger out this morning. I am on Air Force One flying to NATO and hear reports that the FBI lovers, hee hee ha ha ho ho, Peter Stroke and Lisa Page are getting cold feet on testifying about the rigged witch hunt headed by 13 angry Democrats and people that worked for Obama for 8 years. Total disgrace. So President Trump knows what's going on, but he's flying to meet with NATO leaders. He's flying to meet with Theresa May. He's going to meet with the EU, and then he's going to meet with Putin. That is all coming up. Pompeo just met with Kim Jong-un. You're getting a lot of conflicting reports about that. Roger, what is your takeaway, though, before we get into Trump's travels? What is your takeaway on Pompeo going to North Korea?
Well, for those who say that, you know, Trump is going to be soft on Putin, Trump will go into a hasty or unsafe, risky deal with the North Koreans, here's your proof that that's not the case. When Donald Trump and his Secretary of State talk about denuclearization, that they're serious. This isn't some shady deal where they get paid billions of dollars and they get to keep doing what they're doing. It's not the Iran deal times two. So anybody who thought that Trump was going to give away the store just to have a deal or just to get the Nobel Peace Prize doesn't understand Donald Trump. That said, Trump got them to the table. They weren't coming to the table for Barack Obama. They weren't coming to the table for George W. Bush. They weren't coming to the table for Bill Clinton. Donald Trump's tough talk got them to the table. And that we're at least in a dialogue with people who are potentially dangerous to us. Are we going to roll over for them? No. That's why the hysteria about the media's attempts to suggest that the president is going to give away the store to Vladimir Putin are absurd. The president's right. It's time for our NATO allies to pay their fair share. That will be a tough issue. But the president's taunting his critics by saying the NATO meetings are tougher than his meeting with Putin. That's because I think he knows what he wants to say to Putin. Anyone who thinks that Donald Trump is in Putin's thrall or he doesn't understand that Putin is a dangerous man and a killer doesn't understand Donald Trump. You've got two very, very tough guys, and they have a number of things to hash out. But if we could get together and focus on Islamic terrorism together, we would be far more effective than working separately.
Well, I suspect that the summit with Putin is going to go strikingly well. Only time will tell. But when it comes to the North Korea talks, you know, Roger, you've seen conflicting reports. Some people saying that North Korea are very unhappy. Pompeo saying they're negotiating in good faith. You know, I think the funny thing is, simply because, I mean, how are we to really know? I think the funny thing is you're looking at a potential situation now where Trump's administration can actually negotiate in better faith with North Korea and Kim Jong-un than the Democrat Party. I mean, we have actually reached that threshold potentially where good faith negotiations with North Korea are more possible than good faith negotiation with Democrats, Roger. That is where we're at right now.
Well, look, only Nixon could go to Red China. And it's very analogous. I think the American people trust Donald Trump to drive a hard deal with these hardcore communist ideologues. Maybe they're tired of eating dogs. Maybe they're tired of the standard of living. Maybe they want to join the world economy and get rich like the rest of the world, at least the United States. And we can help them do that. Or do they want to continue to sit out in the cold and threaten people? This won't be an easy negotiation. The key thing to remember is the president said from the very beginning, this wasn't going to get accomplished in one sit down. It was not going to take one meeting. Maybe we'll have a deal. Maybe at the end of the deal, we won't have a deal. It would be great for world peace if we had one. But if we don't have one, he said that's OK, too. So he set the expectations correctly. Now Pompeo's got to try to hold it together. This is a mating dance. They denounce Pompeo as being too tough in public. Pompeo says the talks are constructive, continues to be conciliatory. This is going to be like a ping pong match back and forth until we find out whether we can get a deal that is good for both nations.
And I think it's a different tactic. Trump heads into a meeting with the EU, the UK, and NATO over where they've just been taking advantage of the United States for too long. We have all the cards. All Trump has to do is just sit there and just wait for them to gamble, and then he'll match it, call it, if not raise it, and they'll have nothing to say. So it's nice to have a president, though, that's willing to look NATO in the eye and say, hey, look, we pay, if you look at NATO's history, I bet the United States of America has probably paid, if you aggregate all the funds, 50 times more than any other nation. Maybe that's a conservative estimate. So, how dare America want fair trade? How dare America not pay its fair share of NATO, even though we funded NATO 50 times more than the next country? I mean, come on. How dare Donald Trump? I mean, the nerve.
I could not agree with you more, Owen. Let me take an opportunity to make this special offer also for InfoWarriors. If you go to the InfoWars.com store and you buy my new book, Stone's Rules, at a very nice price, and you mail it to me at 1007 North Federal Highway, number 166, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33304, I will gladly mail it back to you, signed and personalized. If you want to just send a book plate, that's a what you paste in the front of a copy because you don't want to part with it, you're in the middle of reading it, I will send that back to you and you can put it in your book. I'm happy to pay the postage, but if you want to include return postage, that is appreciated. This is an offer for InfoWarriors only. So please buy your book at InfoWars and send it to me.
All right, Roger, final discussion here before you jump off with us. I'm actually serious about this. I don't know if I should say this, but I don't know if you saw all the response from the Democrats and the liberals in Hollywood basically saying it's time to panic. Your lives are at risk. The country's at risk all over the Supreme Court nomination. Not even confirmed yet. You know, so they're saying basically this is the end of the world. It's the end of America. You have to fight for your lives. I'm serious, Roger. I mean, I can't even believe I'm about to say this. I'm serious, though. I think that based on everything we've seen and how crazy things have gotten, I'm dead serious, Roger. I wouldn't be shocked if there isn't a Hollywood liberal or a Democrat that soon says to just start killing people. I'm not even kidding, Roger. I mean, their rhetoric is already flirting with that. I wouldn't be shocked if one of them actually just comes out and says it.
Look, they are trying to motivate the base of their party, which is now far to the left. They are the ones preaching violence. They're the ones who are telling their followers to attack supporters of the president, to harass us in public, to get in our face. We're accused of fomenting violence when all we are saying is we will defend our rights to free speech. We will be prepared to do this. We are not advocating violence. We renounce violence. It solves nothing. It's Antifa. It is the left. It is freaked out liberals who are taking the first punch. And I think that's an important point to make. But it is based on a growing hysteria that the president's policies are working and he is more and more popular and therefore going to be much harder to dislodge. They have every intention of trying to remove this president through impeachment, through the Mueller investigation, and some hoped-up charge against him, and then pray that that wins them the U.S. House of Representatives so they can win enough votes to impeach and get enough liberal Republicans to switch in the Senate to vote to convict. That is their plan.
Well, it's going to absolutely fail miserably, and I can't wait till that day comes to see the absolute meltdown that will be of catastrophic proportions for them. It's just, you know, they'll say, you know, if I wear a MAGA hat out, Roger, they'll point the finger at me and say, oh, look at you. You're the one instigating. You're the one causing violence. You know, you're the one being a punk. Well, wait a second. If I go to a Chicago Cubs game wearing my St. Louis Cardinals hat, am I the bad guy? Am I the punk? Am I the instigator? Or am I just wearing a hat because I like the hat and I like the team? But this is the twist now, Roger. Oh, you're the bad guy for wearing a MAGA hat. You're the bad guy. We deserve to punch you. We have the right to break a bottle over your head or hit you with a bike lock. We're the tolerant left. Well, I'm just sick of it. And I'm telling you, there's going to be more people out there, Roger, that are not going to be afraid to execute their free speech.
I refer you to one of my favorite rules in Stone's Rules. Attack, attack, attack. Never defend. We have no choice but to continue to denounce them and their push for violence.
InfoWars.com/show.
Warning. This broadcast is not for the weak-minded. This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream at InfoWars.com/show.
Savannah Hernandez joins me in studio in the next segment, but first, here is her man on the street from today asking people what they think about a potential Hillary Clinton presidential run.
Shut the door. Let's get this going.
Action 7 News. There's been a lot of speculation that Hillary Clinton will be running for president again in 2020. After various health concerns and a lot of controversy, it'll be really interesting to see if the average American actually supports that, though. Let's go find out.
Yeah, I would support her. I'm a big fan of Hillary.
Why would you support her as a second run for president?
Well, I recognize as a Democratic voter, so that's what I'm registered as. So I would support her for her ideals and her beliefs.
Okay. What are some of her ideals and beliefs that you support?
I haven't been following her campaign too much. I am, a little bit busy, but I just do support her as a Democrat.
I absolutely would. I just believe in her policies. She's proven herself as a legislator, as a leader. She's a woman. What can I say?
There's been a lot of speculation that Hillary Clinton's going to be running for president in 2020. What do y'all think?
I'm not voting for her.
How come?
She didn't win the first time. You know what I'm saying? I don't think she doesn't really qualify as a good president. Like, we need better options. It's a lot of reasons.
Her husband did a good job.
No, he didn't.
Right?
No, he did a terrible job.
I think that I would give Hillary Clinton a chance.
How come?
Because we gave Donald Trump a chance.
But, I mean, she didn't win the first time around. Do you think she'd win the second?
I think that Donald Trump won strictly off of publicity. The guy was on Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Does everybody remember that? Our president of America was on Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Is that a joke or?
If Will Smith run, I'm voting. That's it.
I agree.
Yeah, I would vote for Will Smith. Oh, gosh. I don't know.
I doubt it. I just don't think. I think, why would she put herself through that again? But I don't know.
If she did run, would you guys support her?
Depends on who in the Democratic Party would run against her. So, if she didn't get the nomination.
If she's the nominee, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, would funny. You support her?
Hell no.
How come?
She's a crook, and I would never trust her, ever. Or Donald Trump. I hate Donald Trump, too. Just going out there, so.
So who do you want to be our next president, then?
I really don't even want another president. I don't think it makes much sense to have one person running the entire country that their views can meet with everybody else's views. That whole system's flawed, I believe. I don't like our current president, and I definitely wouldn't want Hillary either.
How come, though? Like, can you give me a couple examples?
Yeah, just, her whole demeanor, I don't trust her at all based off of a lot of the things she's done. And, she's ran so many times, she needs to just give it up already.
I mean, I love Hillary. I don't know if it's going to work, though. I think just a lot of people don't like her, and I don't know why, but I'm afraid if she does run that, like, it might not work, and then we'll be stuck with another Donald Trump. I think it's a lot of FUD. Like, a lot of people out there just say bad things about her. They're afraid of, I don't know. I think there's definitely some sexism in it. A lot of people don't want what the Democrats want either. So there's a lot of people out there saying she's going to be bad for poor people. It's like all complete lies. Like, it really sucks.
I don't really give a shit. I mean, I ain't got nothing to do with it. I ain't got nothing to do with me. I don't even keep up with that, to be honest.
Okay. What do you think for prison right now?
I think he's an entertainer, and he's always has been. And that's all I got to say on that.
I don't think she's going to, but I would support her if she did.
How come?
Because I think she has experience.
All right, the full report is on the Alex Jones YouTube channel. Wow. People, you know what? She really didn't have that much support. Even the people that would say they'd vote for her were kind of like, eh. Hey, run, Hillary, run. You'll be the biggest loser in presidential history. Go ahead and run. I dare you. It's time for the 2020 presidential debates. Representing the Republican Party, President Donald J. Trump. Representing the Democrats, Hillary Clinton's head in a jar. Give her a nice round of applause and an extra one for her jar. I can't believe Hillary couldn't even run in 2016. How is she going to run in 2020?
I'm telling you, they're going to...
And then put it in a jar, like Futurama style. So you're going to have Hillary's head in a jar versus Donald Trump. There it is. Oh, yeah. That really captures the essence of Hillary Clinton right there. It really captures the essence of Air Hillary. So you just saw the report from Savannah Hernandez in the last segment. She went out to the streets in Austin, Texas, and she was talking to people, seeing if they would support Hillary Clinton running in 2020. It seemed like most of the response was, at first, whether they liked it or not, was kind of shock. Like, what? Hillary again? Like, they seemed kind of shocked. What was your takeaway?
I definitely agree with that. I think people were definitely just not even expecting, you know, Hillary to run again in 2020. So, yeah, definitely shock. And I feel like, as you would expect, not that many people were too excited to hear that news.
I love how some of the guys were like, well, why would she run again? She just lost. Because that is, I mean, if you look at presidential history, there's not too many, there's a small handful of people that have ran after they've lost. Hillary would maybe even be doing it twice. It's like unheard of. If you lose in a presidential election, that's like it. Just walk away, you know, get out of the spotlight, especially if you look like Hillary. But no, she has to run again. I don't know. I mean, I just can't believe it. The more I think about it, the more I'm just like, I don't think it's possible. Her health is deteriorating. She couldn't campaign in 2016. How is she going to do it in 2020? Trump has gotten more popular since 2016. So if she runs, I think it's the Democrats throwing in the towel. But what happens if she dies?
I mean, I feel like that's a very plausible situation. And I mean, a lot, the average person on the street, though, like I said, very surprised that she was even considering it. And, you know, a lot of people laughed, too, because they were like, you know, she lost the first time around and there is a reason for that. Nobody trusts Hillary. And the one woman who was for Hillary, of course, she was like, yeah, I'm a woman. Hillary's a woman and Hillary's for women. And, you know, whenever people answer in that way, I don't even feel like it's a good idea to have a debate with them because, I mean, I don't know. I just don't understand the whole Hillary's for women.
Well, if
thought process.
If Judge Barrett would have been selected for the next Supreme Court nominee, they wouldn't have supported her, even though she's a woman.
They hate Sarah Palin.
She's a woman. They hate Ivanka Trump. She's a woman. They hate Sarah Huckabee Sanders. She's a woman. So that whole woman card is obviously fake.
Yeah.
But it shows you really that they are in a cult where they say, oh, she's a woman. I must vote for a woman. Or I'm a registered Democrat, so I'll vote for the Democrat no matter what. It's like you're brainwashed. You're in a cult. If that's the way you think, and that's the way these people think. So great work getting them to admit that they're in a cult. Really, really great work.
Right? Yeah, no, definitely. And I know I've read a lot of news stories as well about liberals, you know, and they're just like, well, I'm going to vote for Hillary Clinton because she's a feminist. And basically the news told me to. So, you know, that's always a classic answer when it comes to why Hillary should be our future president one day. But I mean, same thing we've seen time and time again. People don't trust her. I don't think that her running for president in 2020 is going to be a feasible situation. I mean, I hope it isn't. I was reading that she's actually, you know, number two in popularity behind Joe Biden. So
he's not even popular.
Yeah.
It's like, what's more popular, a turd sandwich or, you know, I'm not even going to go where I was going to go. But we know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, no, and I did talk to some people as well, and they were talking about how, you know, they're like, I don't think Hillary's the face of the Democratic Party. I hope it's somebody, you know, a lot younger. You know, that's what they're hoping for. And I was like, oh, well, have you heard of Alexandria Cortez? And of course they hadn't. So, they hadn't, which was really interesting because, you know, they were specifically
She couldn't run till 2028 anyway.
She couldn't, but I think it's interesting because I feel like, you know, she would have more popularity, but I guess she really doesn't.
Well, Hillary, if she can muster up the energy, and, if her back brace still fits, and if the house arrest bracelet on her ankle, and if she can afford a flight, she is going to appear at the teachers union conference with Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. How about that, though? You have Bernie Sanders. Hillary Clinton stole the nomination from Bernie Sanders, stole it. Bernie knows this. Educated Bernie Sanders supporters know this, yet Hillary Clinton is going to appear with Bernie Sanders at this teachers union conference. It really just shows you how fake Bernie Sanders is that he would even go out with Hillary Clinton to an event like this, even though he knows Hillary stole the nominee from him. Bernie was so much more popular than Hillary. It's really not even close.
Right. No. And I mean, even people that I talked to today, when I asked them, okay, well, if Hillary doesn't run for president in 2020, who do you think would be a good candidate? And Bernie Sanders was brought up quite a bit.
It's because he's going to give you free health care, free college, free everything. And then it's going to collapse into socialism and I'm going to escape to my lake house. Screw you.
Actually, I think he was at his lake house over the weekend. Bernie Sanders had a nice weekend up at his $1 million lake house.
Probably.
Just good old socialism at work right there. Bernie Sanders. Unbelievable. But they said they're not going to run Bernie because they're going to go with a Democrat. Bernie is an independent, so they cannot run Bernie Sanders. At least that's what they said. So it doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter who they run. There's nobody that can beat President Trump right now. I think they know that. I think that's why they're throwing away this election with a Hillary Clinton, and they'll use this election as their official announcement. Once they lose and it appears that the Democrat Party is dead, they're going to go to either the Democrat Socialist Party, or they may just call it a straight Socialist Party in the 2024 elections, or who knows, maybe the midterms 2022. But the Democrat Party, to me, is on the verge of extinction. I think that 2018 is going to be the first sign of that, and then 2020 will be probably the nails in the coffin, no pun intended, if Hillary Clinton runs.
I don't know. Maybe the extinction of the Democratic Party is good, though. We talked about, too, earlier, we had this guest on, and he was talking about his whole walk-away campaign, you know, or the march for unity in our country.
Organizing the march, yes.
Yeah, yeah. And I feel like the extinction of the Democratic Party would be, you know, a good step forward to the unity of our country, because we have seen a lot of division promoted by that party.
Well, whatever they morph into, they're just going to do the same thing. It'll be even worse if they're outright socialists.
Probably.
What, can you imagine? See, but this is the dangerous thing about it. If you have a country run like Venezuela, okay, and you have an entire population of people that are expecting free health care, free anything, and then the moment the system doesn't deliver, it breaks down into total chaos. That's why socialism doesn't work, because eventually, guess what? You run out of other people's money. And then what are you going to do when people show up expecting free anything and you can't deliver? They go insane. They become hysterical. So we'll see what happens with Hillary Clinton and the Democrat Party. I think that they are in the coffin. The nails are being hammered into the coffin, and it's going to be lowered into the ground in 2018. And then 2020 dirt will be shoveled over it. And that will be the death of the Democrat Party. We, though, are reaching new plateaus here at InfoWars, and it's all possible with your support at InfoWarsStore.com. I implore you to take advantage of free shipping store-wide at InfoWarsStore.com. Now, for big-ticket items like the Alexa Pure Breeze air filter, heavier items that cost more money to ship, this is where you can get big savings. You have $100 off right now the Alexa Pure Breeze air filter. If you're not filtering the air in your home, I wonder what you're waiting for. If you were waiting for a great special, well, now's the time. Free shipping and $100 off the Alexa Pure Breeze air filter at InfoWarsStore.com. It is a must-have for your home. And don't forget about 50% off top-selling items like the Real Red Pill Plus, DNA Force Plus, Brain Force Plus, Super Male, and Super Female Vitality. It's all at InfoWarsStore.com, and your expansion, or your support, is what supports our expansion, and that way we can hire new reporters like Savannah so that she can go out on the street and ask people what they think about Hillary Clinton. It's all possible with your support at InfoWarsStore.com. We'll be right back. Great news coming out of Thailand. Great news coming out of Thailand.
The War Room. InfoWars.com/show.
I think it's hilarious. See, this is what I'm saying. The left is so out of touch with even their own moral consciousness that they choose abortion as their leading issue the day after Kavanaugh is nominated for the Supreme Court seat. I mean, just think about that. They choose abortion. The killing of children. The killing of babies. In fact, you know what? Pull up pull up clips. I'm sorry to do this. We're going to do this right now. Pull up images of aborted children. I'm serious. Okay, I want the left to look at what they're standing for today. I'm sorry to do this to the audience, but this is what we're going to have to do. This is what the left has decided to fight for today, right here. This is their number one issue today. That is how sick and deranged these people have become. Again, if you want to have a political issue to talk about the right to abortion or different times where abortion could be legal or whatever you want to say, okay, fine. But when you come out and your main stance, your main argument, your main talking point is abortion and being pro-abortion, it really shows you how sick you have become. Look at this montage of the left celebrating abortion.
So tonight, in honor of America, I'd like to do a salute to abortion in the Brave's 10th annual salute to abortion.
Get out of my behind. Get out of my vagina.
Fertilized egg is a human being.
Yeah.
Fertilized egg is a human being.
Is that supposed to be a joke?
Hey, I got news for you, Blob. You were an egg and a sperm at one point, too, you jackass.
You think that it is the white man's duty to fix everybody's problems, right? Because you
No, I don't.
How many did I adopt? I kill my kids.
Don't knock it till you try it. And when you do try it, really knock it. You know, you got to get that baby out of there.
You've got Amazing Grace being sung. I don't know if the AM radio picks it up, but they're saying, Hail Satan. And the news confirmed. That's what they're saying. There she is. Hail Satan. Sticks her tongue out.
Well, tonight, we're not pointing fingers at these kids. We say, Lord, we are the men.
Women, if you need an abortion, get one!
Sarah, I'm Jesus Christ.
But fertilized eggs aren't people. People are people.
And I was like, thank you.
A fertilized egg is a human being!
You're a piece of go home. Pick up your and leave. We don't need that bullshit here.
Ma'am.
We do not. We already have enough going on. I'm a woman of this world. We're women of this world. You have no place to say goddamn.
Whoa, what?
Nothing. Go the home. Go
You're
the
being murdered down the street, ma'am.
Whatever.
I need to speak up for them.
Dipshit. Get that camera out of my face. Go home. Go home. Go home.
Imagine a troll like that attacking you. Look at that. That is a wicked beast.
Hey, we've seen one or two of those at ACLU.
That's biblical stuff right there. That's a biblical beast.
Understand me, motherfucker? Go home!
God bless abortions and God bless America!
Okay.
You know what? Honestly, Owen, I feel like prior to working here, I never realized how serious abortions were. But when you actually look up the pictures and the images and you look at that, it's heartbreaking, honestly. And I hate that people are coming forward here and saying, that's not a human being, because it is. And I'm so tired that we're justifying murder in this country. It's disgusting at this point. Michelle Wolf, you're disgusting.
You know what? I'm glad that we decided to talk about this for this segment. And I'm glad that Darren McBreen put that montage together, because that reminded me, I'm planning another abortion protest here in Austin, Texas. But this one's going to be bigger. We did the last one. It was like a 48-hour deal. I think it was actually like 24 hours. We turned it around. We had like 40 or so people out there. No. I want to plan a massive abortion protest in Austin, Texas. I'm thinking that maybe we should have it planned for October so that it's not so hot out. It's kind of brutal right now in Austin. And that way we can have a couple months to organize this. But I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, if no one is going to stand up for these kids and these devil worshipers are going to promote this as some sort of heroic act, that like she does some skit, how is it funny? Like, that's what I'm saying. How is it funny to make fun of abortion, right? Like, since when is that a comedy act?
I don't know. And I don't understand why people think it's such a lighthearted issue. And, you know, I've always heard before, you know, these are women's rights, but what about the right of the woman in the womb? Like, why is it okay to kill that person? Why is murder okay in that sense?
What if it's a woman in the womb? What if it's a woman that's going
to be born? Exactly. It's disgusting. Like, that's the only word I can use for it.
Why? This is the, I mean, seriously, think about it. You say that you're pro-choice. Okay, so what does that mean? You want the choice to kill your kid before it's born. All right, so you're pro-choice, and you think that that's liberating, that's freedom, and that's empowering. So it's empowering for you to be pro-choice to abort your kid. But if you want to be pro-choice after your kid is born and you want to have a pro-choice to whether you vaccinate or not, then you don't get the choice. So yeah. You have the choice to kill your kid before it's born. Then when it's born, the government is totally in charge. It's like, hello, do you even have common sense and logic with this issue? And the answer is no. Zero. You know what, though?
That video as a whole, though, was just a lot to deal with. And Michelle Wolf is just, she's on another level, to be quite honest.
You know what?
As is all the left, though.
I think maybe we need to change our tactic with these people. All of these people that are pro-abortion, calling for abortion, maybe we should just say, maybe you should have been aborted. How would you like that? How would you like that? Yeah. Hey, you know what? Michelle Wolf, how would you like? How about maybe you should have been aborted, Michelle Wolf? Yeah. How about that?
No, you know what my favorite quote is? It's from Maxine Waters. And she's like, I'm marching today because my mom couldn't have an abortion. And I'm like, girl, what?
What? Is that for real?
Yeah, no. Look it up. I hope it's real. I feel like it is. Maxine Waters.
Is upset her mother couldn't have an abortion.
Yeah. Look it up. It's a thing.
Jeez. I mean,
that's their logic.
I wouldn't be surprised if she said that. So I guess Maxine Waters wishes she was aborted. But like Whoopi Goldberg, get out of my vagina, get out of my behind.
Nobody's in there. No one is trying to be in there. Sorry, Whoopi, nobody.
There needs to be like a police line around it, or like some sort of like warning zone.
Gosh.
Probably has its own gravitational force, you know?
Yeah.
To fight it.
God.
So, but you know what? It's okay. It's okay. All the liberals that promote abortion, here's an idea. Why don't we come up with a new thing? We'll call it late-term abortion, and you just commit suicide. So if you like abortion, just go with a late-term abortion. Maxine Waters is upset her mother couldn't, you know, have an abortion of her. So she could just do a late-term abortion and just follow through with the abortion her mother never had.
Well, I mean, I always like the analogy you use about kids being aborted in schools with mass shootings because, you know, of course, the left only cares about kids when it comes to that. But when it comes to abortion, they don't care at all. And I just don't understand that double standard, to be quite honest.
No, it's all right. I say if you openly support abortion and it's a leading cause of yours, then just go with the late term abortion and, you know, be a hero. That's what I say. Just be a hero. Late-term abortion, Michelle Wolf, Maxine Waters, all of them. It's called self-love. It's called Satan worship. All right, Savannah Hernandez, thank you so much. Her video is on the Alex Jones channel, Man on the Street, asking people about Hillary Clinton. Jerome Corsi joins me to talk Seth Rich on the other side.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show. Warning.
This broadcast
is not for the weak-minded. It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
I forgot to mention this in the last segment. I was so distracted with the Democrats celebrating abortion. I celebrate life. And today we celebrate that all 12 kids and the soccer coach that were trapped in the caves in Thailand have now been rescued to safety. So a great story. Again, a celebration of life, a celebration of human achievement, and a celebration of bravery where many SEALs risked their lives. One indeed lost his life to save 12 boys and a soccer coach that were trapped in a cave in Thailand. And it is really a riveting story when you read about the cave system. You read about the fact that most of these boys didn't even know how to swim at all, and they had to do an advanced diving scuba mission just to get out of there. Really incredible. I'm looking for the name of the Thai SEAL that lost his life. I'm upset I can't find it right now. But he lost his life, and if it wasn't for him going down there and putting the oxygen tanks in place for the rescue, it would have never happened. So he truly is a hero, and we salute everybody that made it possible to rescue those 12 boys and the soccer coach from the caves in Thailand. All right, joining me now is Dr. Jerome Corsi, and Dr. Corsi was also monitoring the Seth Rich press conference today with an anonymous source. They called him Luke. He was on the phone. He claims to know the two killers of Seth Rich and that they worked for the DEA and the ATF. He claims to be in close proximity and relation to these people in a working professional relationship. So Dr. Corsi, just right out of the gates, what was your takeaway from the press conference today? The pros, the cons, did you take much faith in Luke's account? Not so much. What is on your mind, Jerry Corsi, after that press conference?
Well, great questions, Owen. Thank you for the introduction here. The, you know, as an investigative journalist, my questions are to verify now what was said or to, you know, find out it can't be verified. I don't begin by judging these things. It was a great story. I mean, compelling story that two federal agents had bragged to someone they knew, this Luke, who was a witness to their bragging, that they assaulted Seth Rich with an intent to steal his hard drive, or this little thumb drive, which he had stolen DNC emails, and they shot him twice, and he was trying to crawl away. I mean, it was a compelling story. And that Rod Rosenstein was the, as U.S. attorney in Maryland, was the one who directed the entire operation to kill Seth Rich. Now, I can't come away saying, you know, I'm convinced, or I'm coming away saying that if this story is true, it's going to be sensational. And what needs now to be done is the investigation of it and the subjecting of the story to more facts. We're going to have to know who Luke is. We're going to have to know who these two unnamed federal agents who were involved in the murder, allegedly, of Seth Rich, who they were. As the story checks out, it's going to be sensational. It's going to be earth-shaking. And I'm glad I attended, and thank Jason Goodman for having set up the live stream so I could be there.
Yeah, and we appreciate that as well as we carried it, Jason Goodman, and his YouTube channel, Crowdsource the Truth. You know, I think that the story that kind of, I don't know how to say this, the reason why it's so intriguing to me, Jerry, is A, there were some little details that were put out today that were intriguing, such as the reason why they were freaked out over what Seth Rich had is because it showed that they were tampering with documents, tampering with emails, changing classification so that they could probably put these things on illegal servers and then have the outs to get away with it. That would be the theory there. But I think what it is because, A, we haven't gotten an official story. You know, I mean, they don't tell us anything and they act like they don't know anything. A botched murder and that's all we get. Well, we know that people were in talks with Seth Rich. We know that he was working for the Democrat Party as a IT guy, and he had access to a lot of information and data. We know that it was an unsolved murder, and they won't tell us anything. They won't. They just literally won't tell us anything. So everybody's scratching their head wondering. And so because of that, you have a willingness to believe whatever's put out there. I'm not saying it's true or not. I'm just saying psychologically that that's where it's at. But I think what intrigues me about this is everybody knows that an element exists in D.C., an element exists in American politics. Just look at House of Cards. That is, whatever you want to call it, the deep state, the secret societies, the Satanists. It doesn't matter. The point is there's a corrupt element of D.C. in American politics that has hitmen that will kill people, that will run dirty tricks, that will run any sort of dirty tricks or whatever it is. And so everybody knows that that's there. I think you ask anybody, they would say that's there. I mean, and that's why I think you're saying this story is so shocking and riveting. It's like, have we ID'd it? I mean, have we actually identified the Hollywood movie cast of the corruption in D.C.? I mean, is this the people that run the assassinations, that run the corruption, that run the deep state? Like, and so everybody's kind of like, hey, we have them nailed here. We know who these people are. and everybody just wants closure on that, Jerry.
Well, I mean, I think you've hit on it, Owen, and that the key here is we know the cover-up is so massive. You know, we can't get the autopsy report. We can't find out anything about the wounds. We don't have any of the surgeon's reports. We don't know what investigation the D.C. police did or didn't do. The whole thing is shrouded in mystery. And so when this story comes forward, and it had very convincing elements to it in terms of, as you point out, the fact that the government agents were involved in redoing these emails. They were falsifying them and modifying them. Didn't want that to get out. The details, you know, there's surveillance cameras, and discussed in the press conference today was that two assailants were identified in that surveillance camera footage, and that these two government thugs, one from the DEA, one allegedly from the ATF, Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, were used by Rod Rosenstein, allegedly, as hitmen. Now, I mean, if this is the case, and we've got our government involved in hit teams, you know, this is a dimension of the deep state that should frighten every American. And I think, at a minimum, you know, the Washington Post, who was in attending the press conference, I'm sure will write about it, is just another conspiracy theory. But, you know, listening to it and following it, and a couple of law enforcement officers, you know, very experienced, instant messaging me as this was going on, we were all saying, you know, these are elements that if they come to you, you have to investigate. And not to investigate them is a dereliction of duty. And it's shocking that the investigation has not been conducted and made more public in a killing like this, which is so central to the Russian collusion case.
Well, and what do we know? We know that agents inside the FBI said they would do anything to stop President Trump, to stop at that time Donald Trump from becoming president. Does that mean killing somebody who might be releasing damning evidence against Hillary Clinton and the Democrats? I don't know. I'm just going with what I do know. They said they would do anything to stop Trump from becoming president. Does that mean killing somebody? I don't know. We don't know. What do we know? There's clearly some sort of a cover-up going on here with Seth Rich, because we get no surveillance. We get very little reporting on what happened at the scene. There's mystery shrouded in what happened in the events leading to him getting to the hospital. What happened at the hospital? No ballistic reports. No autopsy reports. And that leads me to a new question that people are starting to be intrigued by that we're going to get to on the other side with Dr. Jerry Corsi. Don't go anywhere.
Infowars.com/show.
Final segment of the War Room. Dr. Jerome Corsi is my guest. Now, Dr. Corsi, I'm going to go into the latest crazy conspiracy theory about Seth Rich. I'm not saying this is what I believe. I'm just reporting on people saying that it could be possible. And, you know, maybe you could kind of add it up. So people are now theorizing that Seth Rich is still alive. And this is a rumor that is now being floated around because of a picture that a guy who I guess you could say resembles Seth Rich. I mean, it's kind of a hazy picture. I don't know how you could make that assumption. However, I will say this, Dr. Corsi, the thought of it intrigues me because it actually would explain why we're not getting any answers. If you think about it, it actually would explain why we don't have an autopsy, why we don't have the hospital record, why we have none of these records if he is still alive and they're keeping him as some, you know, protected witness or something. So again, I'm not saying I believe that. I'm saying, though, if you would believe that, it would actually explain why we're not getting all these answers, because they can't if he's in witness protection. I'm not saying I believe that. I'm just reporting on that. But I'm sure you've seen those reports. What is your takeaway from that?
Well, yes, I've seen them. And I think it's, you know, again, the Washington Police Department and Justice Department, all the law enforcement, fuel this kind of speculation, because the definitive reports that we needed to put the case to rest weren't released. We don't have an autopsy report. You know, I'd like to see all the records in the hospital or the police investigation. Let's see the certificate of death. Let's get all these records on the table. And, you know, this is a major public investigation. Why are the documents hidden? Seth Rich is dead. If he's dead, well, then prove it. Get all the documents out there. Otherwise, you lead to speculation. And I think the cover-up is the major aspect here. You know, it in a sense, Seth Rich had to be dead if he was going to confess or be known that he was the one who leaked the emails by putting in a thumb drive and taking them out of the DNC server and getting them to WikiLeaks. If he's responsible for that, then there isn't any Russian collusion to blame on Donald Trump. And the entire Mueller investigation was predicated on this theft by Russia that had been encouraged by Trump. So, you know, Seth Rich either disappearing or being killed was critical to the deep state's plot line.
And then the Rod Rosenstein element becomes even more intriguing, seeing where he is at now, where he is at when it comes to the Mueller investigation. And it adds up theoretically. That doesn't confirm anything, but if you're theorizing what happens there, it does add up. And again, it brings me back to my point. I mean, everybody knows this exists in Washington. Look at all the movies they make about this stuff. Look at the TV shows. Look at House of Cards. Look at Deep State. The list goes on and on. Everybody knows. See, this is excuse me while I get a little existential here, Dr. Corsi. But see, this is where the spiritual connection of humanity is lurking in our subconscious. Humans are all connected like satellite antennas with our spirits and our souls. It's all in the pineal gland. And they've done studies where they'll do a study on one species of animal on this island, and they won't even touch the species of animal on the other island, and then all of a sudden they adapt to the exact same environment. Humans have the same thing. If this has become so big, if the corruption in D.C., a murderous corruption, assassinations, all the corruption, it's so big, we know it instinctually. We know it in our conscience. We know it in our soul. Everybody, I think, would agree that this level of corruption that you see in the House of Cards and other TV shows and movies actually goes on. So now we're sitting here looking at the Seth Rich murder, looking at all the different pieces and all the different elements, whether it comes to WikiLeaks, whether it comes to Russian collusion, whether it comes to the Clinton-Obama email corruption, all of this stuff, and we have names like Rod Rosenstein, like Robert Mueller, like Hillary Clinton, like Peter Strzok. And so we're kind of sitting here knowing that this corruption exists, knowing how sick it really is, and we're just wondering, is this it? Are we looking at the real life House of Cards now? Do we know the names? Do we have the people? Dr. Corsi.
Well, I mean, the very interesting point you're making, Owen, because what has happened is the American people have lost faith in the justice system. And I think there's been a narrative change. This was the point of my book in Killing the Deep State. There would be a narrative change when the attempt to impeach Donald Trump failed. And I think it's failed. Mueller's days are limited. But now, after especially the Inspector General's report and the disclosures of all this hatred, Strozek and Page, and now they're going to be testifying supposedly in the next 2 days if they do show up.
Stroke had another closed-door testimony. I think that was today.
And then Page is going to be tomorrow, and then Strozek, I think, is up on Thursday before the Senate Judiciary Committee in a live.
And they're saying they may not show.
We'll wait and see. But, I mean, these are what the American people are now, even just reading the Inspector General's report, it was clear. I mean, look at the hate Trump, how politicized the Department of Justice has become. So it's completely lost credibility as a law enforcement agency. And that's really, I think, you know, where Mueller is going to be seen increasingly as a corrupt political prosecutor, as a prosecutor looking for a crime. And as Giuliani pointed out, if Mueller does not have a crime to charge Donald Trump with or to be investigating, there's no reason to have an interview with Donald Trump. Mueller's going to be asked to show his cards and close up shop.
Well, he won't even do that to the Russians that he indicted. I mean, so the whole thing is obviously fake, but we already knew that. But you have people like Cory Booker, just outright liars. I mean, I just can't even believe how these people just lie and they say that Donald Trump is being criminally investigated. No, he's not. And Cory Booker knows that. He's just an outright scumbag that lies to people. So, you know, moving forward with this, though, Jerry, look, it's time for the government to realize that they are not above the United States citizens. There are enough citizens in this country that have remaining questions about Seth Rich that I think even if it's all ridiculous, even if it comes out it really was a botched murder and they have everything, well, you know what? Show the people that. You have millions of Americans that are genuinely concerned about what's going on in this country, genuinely concerned about political assassinations. We have political prisoners right. like Paul Manafort. We deserve answers, and the longer they hold out, the more the mystery and the more the theories are going to just keep coming out.
Well, it becomes like a house of cards. Because what's happening is that the American people's trust in the Obama Justice Department and this politicized D.C., what's called the swamp, is down to zero, including the respect for Congress, respect for the bureaucracy. President Trump has made great strides. I mean, he's made an amazing strides. First of all, he's resisted one of the most intense efforts ever to impeach a president. It's not going to happen. He's not going to be impeached. No way he's going to be impeached. Now he's turned the tables, and Mueller himself should be put under investigation for Uranium One. He did a secret mission to Moscow in 2009, September, for Hillary Clinton delivering uranium to Moscow. That's never been explained in the process while Uranium One was being sold to the Russians. This just investigating that alone. As soon as Mueller's under investigation, his entire team collapses. And with the fruit of the poisonous tree, all this hate Trump that goes throughout Mueller's team, as it did the Obama Justice Department and FBI, means there's no due process being done at all. The American people see it. Donald Trump's gaining support because the American people are catching on.
Well, and I mean, the real civil war is actually going on at this levels. It's the Obama holdovers, the Clinton holdovers, the Bush holdovers, the deep state. We know many of their names, Peter Stroke, Rod Rosenstein, Robert Mueller, the list goes on, versus Donald Trump and real Americans, not just the ones in Congress like Jim Jordan and Devin Nunes, but real Americans out there that are doing these independent investigations and asking real questions. And that's the real civil war that's going on at the very top of the political pyramid that people don't understand. But real quick, we got 30 seconds left. What do you make of QAnon originally saying that this was MS-13? Now today, Luke Anon, we're calling him, says that this was ATF DEA agents. Which one of those do you think was most likely misinformation?
Well, I think probably QAnon was disinformation. I mean, I don't think there's any. If it had been a street crime, the word on the street would have gotten out.
The money would have been motivation enough for somebody to come forward with information.
Yes. If it was a street crime, it was MS-13 and all this money was on the table.
And I agree. It would be a government agent that goes acting as Q to blame MS-13 to cover up for themselves. Thank you, Jerry Corsi. You stay classy, Info Warriors.